Hello and welcome to Rewatchable number 36 for Veronica Mars. Today we're discussing episodes 17, Plan B, and 18, I Am God. I am not God, but my name is Danielle, and I'm here with Gabrielle and Caitlin. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Happy Saturday morning. Very snowy here, so it's kind of comfy to be recording today. But, yes, so I finished the episodes late last night, so I may be a little delirious, but I'm glad that we have these synopses here, just so I can keep them all separate. Because I was really into them last night, and now they just kind of run together. But it'll be okay. It'll be good.
That's what happened with me.
Yeah.
So, we're on the same page.
Oh, good. Well, I don't know if that's good or bad, but we're going to say it's good. let's jump into the first episode for today, episode 17, Plan B. And here is the lovely synopsis that Gabrielle wrote up for us. In this episode, a whole lot of plot development happens. There's a Sadie Hawkins dance at Neptune High, and couples drama abounds. Jackie asks out Charlie, a student with disabilities, and shows that she's changed. Wallace kisses Jackie while dating Jane, only for Jane to find out and blame Jackie. Wallace eventually owns up that he made the move, and both girls don't want to be with him. Mac and Cassidy continue their cuteness until she asks him why he doesn't want to be physical with her and reveals that she's talked to Veronica about it. Cue sad dumping. Veronica goes alone and rescues Gia from Logan, who's snarking her. Cue amazing dance between Veronica and Logan. Also, Logan won Mayor Goodman's essay contest using Easy Rider and finds a sketchy DVD in the Goodman's mail. Keith tries to investigate, only for Goodman to say it was his disgruntled ex-gardener. Logan spots for Goodman in the gym in a super awkward scene, and Weevil confides in Veronica that Thumper killed Felix, but has blackmail on Weevil. Molly Fitzpatrick tapes Liam and Danny bragging about the kill, but when Veronica and Weevil go to Sheriff Lamb, he's not too interested as it's illegal evidence. Weevil takes matters into his own hands, knocking out Thumper, hiding his drug money, and setting off a murderous chain of events. The Fitzpatricks gag and chain Thumper to a bathroom in the old Shark Stadium, which Logan blows up as part of his prize. See you later, Thumper. At the end of the episode, the witness from the bridge comes forward and identifies Thumper through his bike after Logan and Veronica approached him and then, due to his hesitation, approached his wife. So needless to say, we have quite a few things to talk about today. Let's start with everybody's favorite bad boy and talk about Logan and how he won the mayor's contest and how his first assignment was to sort through mail. I thought it was surprising that he won the contest, but not so surprising that he would use Easy Rider to win it. But I think that in the grand scheme of things, it's very interesting that he's the one to kill Thumper in a roundabout way, after everything that he's been through. But I don't know. How did you, any thoughts on Logan in the mayor's contest?
I was kind of surprised that Veronica didn't win because we haven't really seen her being praised by professors or doing really well in school. And then I think in the next episode we find out, like, oh, she is really academically smart, even though we kind of knew that. So I was surprised they didn't use the plot line for Veronica to win. And then I think just having Logan actually push the button adds to his plate of, you know, guilt when he eventually, you know, hopefully we'll find out, because he already has so much on that plate.
Yeah, I kind of wondered what Logan was up to, because he obviously felt like he had some investment in it if he went to the effort to plagiarize an essay to that he thought might win.
Yeah.
So that kind of made me a little suspicious. Like, what are you up to?
Why do you want to win an essay contest so bad?
Yeah. What do you want with Goodman?
I mean, I could see Dick wanting to do it just because he likes blowing stuff up and he was kind of excited about the prize in the last episode. But, like, Logan had no emotional reaction, I guess, to the prize when we first heard about it. So, I don't know.
Yeah,
it is suspicious.
My thinking would be that he wanted something to do with the mayor and a way to get into his office for some reason. And that the blowing up the stadium wasn't the prize he was interested in, but
yeah.
I guess we shall see.
Yeah. And I just wanted to point out, in case anybody missed it, or if anybody cares, I guess, There was yet another America's Next Top Model contestant in this episode, if anybody caught it. It was Woody Goodman's assistant. I don't remember what season it was. It was right before I stopped watching the show. But, yes. So Veronica Mars is basically the landing place, or like the big prize for those on America's Next Top Model. And this is another example of it.
I thought she looked familiar.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure out why, but that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember what her name is, but like I can see her within the season and like her weird poses, and she was kind of strange. Sort of. I don't know. But yeah, that's who it is, in case anybody thought she looked familiar. What do we think about that DVD that Woody found, if anything?
Something's going on.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was strange and didn't really fit in with the plot and just how Woody, you know, sold it himself and wanted the DVD back. I thought was more suspicious than the DVD itself, despite being super creepy. I just didn't really know what we were supposed to make of it.
I agree.
I assumed that he's Sketchy McSketcherson. Like, since we're kind of assuming that he's the big bad, like, I feel like this is probably playing into whatever his motives are for all the sketchy stuff he's been doing. So, because there's no way that was actually a disgruntled ex-gardener. That's way too easy. And he was very awkward and rushed about it. So I don't buy that for a second.
Yeah. And with all the detail, even that Mr. Mars dug up on it, or like noticed about the video, like how it was taken a few months ago, how it was taken at a certain time of day, and all of this other stuff. Yeah, it felt way too weird. I think we were supposed to feel weird that he solved it, but yeah.
And the fact that it showed up now as opposed to a few months ago, and
yeah.
And then maybe it's important that Logan saw it. I don't know, like, if it's important that Logan was in the office to see that somehow, that it's going to play into the bus crash and everything. I'm not sure. It seems relevant to me that Logan saw it somehow.
I mean, it could be one of those things which Danielle talked about in an earlier episode about who has information. So maybe that's why it's relevant that Logan and Keith have seen it or something like that, because maybe it will come in play.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But something that was completely irrelevant and kind of hurt, at least my eyes, was that awkward gym scene where Logan was spotting for Woody. I didn't see any value in that. I don't even know if I even enjoyed that scene, because it was just so weird.
It was so uncomfortable, and it was, like, touching Logan's biceps. Like,
yeah.
Get a lot of action with the ladies. Like, oh my god, you were creepy.
Like, it wasn't even a good awkward that you feel okay about after, or that you can, like, laugh it off. Like, it was just awkward and ugh.
Just makes me more suspicious of him.
And you could tell Logan felt awkward. That's, I think, why we felt awkward. Because if Logan played it off, I think we would, like, not think anything of it. But it just definitely, like, compare that to the Sheriff Lamb gym scene, and I think they're very different.
Yeah, I agree with that. Because that one was at least funny and ridiculous. But, yeah, I agree. Let's move away from Logan, even though I know we probably don't want him. But let's move away from Logan and talk about the whole Veronica and Weevil storyline. Weevil kind of looks better in this episode, at least than the Ain't No Magic Mountain High Enough, where he had a little scruff. So he's got a new haircut. Veronica's got a new haircut. they're all kind of starting over, which you can tell because she yet again accuses him of something. Accuses him, I believe, of killing Felix? Is that what it was? I think so. But, yeah. So, what did we think of Weevil's storyline in this episode? I enjoyed it. I like anything with Weevil, and I thought it was nice to see him in the spotlight for a while.
I liked it. I thought it showed off how smart he is and how much of a natural leader he is. I think his plot line, although slightly murderous, or more than slightly murderous, was a smart plot. And it showed that
he and Veronica are becoming friends again and he's learning to trust her again, but at the same time, he's still the head honcho in his mind and he still knows how to get things done. So he tried it her way, but, you know, he wasn't necessarily a pansy and just kind of bowed down to her. He went his own way as well.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked seeing them working together because they're another bro TP that I love.
Yeah.
But the end, I'm just like, I have such a hard time dealing with Weevil essentially getting Thumper killed and knowing about it. And I don't know how Veronica's going to react to that. I imagine it will not be well if she finds out. And I just have a very hard time dealing with that because I love him and I have a hard time dealing with the fact that character I really like, oh, guess what? He's a murderer now.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Part of me thinks that, yes, he knew that Thumper was going to get in big trouble. And I don't think it was right of him, I guess, to put him in that position. But I guess I don't know if Weevil thought he was going to be directly involved in his death in that way. Or just the way that he died was terrible. I wouldn't
the fact
have.
That he know. Was in confession at the very end makes me think he knew.
Yeah, that's true.
And that, I don't know, that bothers me a lot. It makes sense for him, and I buy it. I just don't like it because I like Weevil.
No, I'm in the same boat. I'm in the exact same boat. But I thought it was kind of not admissible, but I think it gave us more motivation for this because we, in this episode, we got a sense for Weevil's love for Felix. Because I believe in this one, this is where he kind of had these random flashbacks during lunch where he saw Felix just sitting around or, like, he was kind of seeing him and remembering things about Felix. And I thought that was really, it was almost Veronica-like because she gets all those flashbacks. She used to get them of Lily. She get them of Meg and stuff like that. And so I really enjoyed that part of the episode because you could see that it wasn't just his gang that was affected. It was kind of his family because his gang was his family.
Yeah, it was very personal.
Yeah.
I
think he freaked out on Molly a little too hard, though. He was a little bit scary Weevil then, which I guess was the point, but I didn't necessarily like him in that moment because, you know, she did care about him, and that was evident even when Veronica talked to her beforehand, or maybe it was Weevil in a previous episode. And so for him to just, like, completely tear her down, I just thought was a little unnecessary since they're both grieving, even though they're in different places.
Yeah. But, I mean, we kind of always see it in things like this where grieving people may even hurt other people who are grieving. I don't know. But I agree. I think it was a little too harsh. The one thing that did bother me about this storyline, though, was Veronica's accusation. I feel like, yes, they have both kind of gone their separate ways since the first season, but I feel like they should know each other well enough by now to the point where Veronica shouldn't just jump down Weevil's throat right away and accuse him of murder. I think I was sitting watching that and it just really bothered me.
I guess it goes to show that enough has happened that Veronica sees anybody as capable of murder.
Which is really sad if you think about it that
way. Yeah.
I never thought about it like that, but yeah, no, that's terrible.
I mean, think of all the people in her life that she's ended up accusing of murder at one point or another. Like, the
everyone.
List is kind of getting long.
Like, everyone in Neptune, pretty much.
Yeah, I think she needs to get out of Neptune.
Yeah, that would be nice, I would think.
She needs a vacation.
That would be interesting. I feel like that would be an interesting episode. Veronica on vacation. Because you know it wouldn't be a vacation. But.
She would find a case on vacation.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Of course. So kind of looking at the other end of this case, do we feel bad for Thumper? Or is it just kind of the way in which he dies that evokes sympathy, if that makes sense?
I wouldn't feel bad for him if Sheriff Lamb got him and he was in jail, but the fact that he's 18 or possibly even 17 and just got blown up or, you know, caved in, I think is really horrible. And I don't think anyone deserves that, even though he did kill someone. I think Weevil should have trusted in the system a little more, although I get why he didn't, because he really hadn't had good experiences with the justice system. I just think it's a horrible way to die.
And incorporation was on the ballot at this point, too, so I think the system was kind of far from his reach.
Yeah, agreed.
I pitied him because he was so young, but at the same time, he made his choices, and he did some really awful things, and I feel like he kind of got what was coming to him based on the choices he made for himself. So he kind of made his bed and had to lie in it, so to speak.
Yeah, because, I mean, no good ever comes of working with mobsters, drug dealers, anything like that.
And he, you know, is very aware. And then he killed somebody. So, you know, it's not like he was just dealing drugs or something, which is bad enough when you're working with the mob, but then you end up killing somebody, my sympathy level goes way down for someone like that. So even I'm sad because he was so young and probably made a lot of mistakes because he was young, but he still made his own choices.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think I'm more with you on that one. Let's talk about Wallace in this episode and his whole sort of love triangle thing. I honestly didn't like Wallace in this episode, and I don't think I'd like him in the next few ones either.
I didn't either.
Go ahead.
I was saying I didn't like him in this episode for obvious reasons, because I think he just acts like a sleazeball and makes Jackie look bad, and I'm actually liking Jackie now and hurts Jane, who's really nice. But in the next episode, I like him. So, you know, because we see the Wallace-Logan romance.
Yeah.
Come out. So sure. I disagree with you on that, I guess.
That's true. I think I was thinking ahead to the ones that we're recording for the next podcast. But, yeah, no, this episode I definitely – it just felt out of character to me for Wallace to hurt someone like that. I feel like, yes, he's a teenager. Yes, you mess up sometimes. But at the same time, I didn't feel like it was – his character was capable of that.
It felt like he was acting like the star athlete that he is.
Yeah.
He doesn't usually act like that with the – quote-unquote social perks that come along with it, and he kind of felt like in this episode that he was and was feeling entitled to being with the girl that he wants to be with, and I did not like that. And I too, like, okay, I like Jackie now, and when she turned him down, I was like, four for you, Jackie. Like,
yeah.
Seriously, you tell him. Just stop it, Wallace.
Yeah, go away, Wallace. Yeah, no, I'm starting to like Jackie a lot more now, especially the second time around watching, or whatever time I'm on watching these episodes. I'm liking her more now, and I'm really glad that she did that. And if it hurt Wallace, good. He learned something, I guess.
He needed a little smack in the face, I guess.
Yeah.
Because maybe he's been around Veronica a little too much and has seen how she uses people, because he was using Jane.
Yeah. And then I feel bad because while I thought Jane was sweet and what he did to Jane was not good, I'm also kind of happy he's no longer with Jane.
Yeah.
Just because I felt like that was taking Wallace off screen because she didn't interact with anybody else in the show other than Wallace and sometimes Veronica.
Jane felt like a placeholder. Like, I didn't really comprehend anything about her as a character, just that she existed and was sitting at Wallace's side for various points. Like, she just felt like she was there to be the girl that Wallace was with and could have really been anybody.
It also, like, just how Wallace acted when he was with her, like, even in the beginning of the episode when he's, like, give me five girlfriend or something like that. I was just like, this isn't Wallace. Like, it just seemed more out of character than I wanted him to be.
Mm-hmm. I agree. But at least the awkwardness is over, right? Sort of. For now. Speaking of pseudo-awkwardness, Veronica and Logan got a little closer this episode, I guess, than we've seen them in the entire season. They went on a stakeout together. He danced with her at, I think that was a spring fling Sadie Hawkins dance. Did we like that stakeout? I kind of enjoyed it. I liked seeing them working together again, even if they're not dating.
I thought it was adorable, and I liked Logan's shirt. I think it was slacker in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
I really appreciated it. And I just, I don't know, I love their interaction. I could see a buddy cop show with them.
Oh, my God, that would be the best thing ever.
No, great spinoff.
So good.
My God, I want that in my life, yes.
I'm sure someone's written about it before, so we could probably find something.
Give me all the fanfic. I want
all
it.
Of it.
They have just such amazing banter. Like, I could just watch an hour of them sitting there snarking at each other. Like, that is my favorite thing.
Right. And, like, as much as I love them when they're dating, if we could just have the intelligent banter and it went no further than that, I would be happy. I would be okay. Because it's just, it's so entertaining. And, I mean, the dance is kind of nice. It's kind of on the other end of the spectrum. Whereas it wasn't banter, it was more just chemistry, sort of.
Yeah, it was kind of intense.
I think they danced to the song Sway by the Parishers. I think that's right. I looked it up.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that moment, and I love seeing Gia again as well.
Yeah, I miss seeing her around. It's kind of nice that she's coming back a little bit now.
I find her, like, kind of obnoxious, but I loved, like, she just cut straight through Logan's crap and was like, here's my psychoanalysis of you. Like, bam. Like, okay.
It's like she's socially awkward yet super popular at the same time. And it doesn't make sense, but it does. And it's so fun to watch. But yeah,
Logan's face when Gia was like, tell me what you think of me, and right before Veronica pulls him away, like, his face as he's gearing up to, like, let her have it was amazing.
I'm almost sad that we didn't get that.
Oh, that would have been good.
Oh, yeah. I feel like it would have been completely snarky and just, and a lot of it would fly over her head.
Yeah, probably, which would make it even better.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. That would have been epic. I was waiting for it.
Bad. But we got a Logan and Veronica dance out of it, so I guess I'm okay. I guess it's fine. And when they were going back to, like, the stakeout, they were staking out the witness that was on the bridge because Logan remembered what kind of truck it was or whatever. And I don't know about you, but as much as I think it's wrong to withhold information or to not come forward if you've seen something like what this guy saw on the bridge, I completely understand his position. I don't know if I would have done the same, but at the same time, I'm not angry at him for not going forward. What did you guys think about his situation?
I think it made a lot of sense.
I thought it made sense, but it made sense in the real world, which I thought was great, that they didn't just tie it up, like, super neatly, and he did come forward originally, but at the same time, I thought it was a little bit cowardly. And it was just a little bit disappointing how he tried to, like, blame it on Logan and say, well, you would have gotten off anyway because you're a rich boy. I just thought that was kind of sad.
I totally understand the, you know, he's protecting his family because he lives in a bad part of town, and, you know, who cares about rich white boys' problems? Like, obviously he doesn't know Logan's life, he just knows that he's the son of a movie star, and he's white in this town where that counts for a lot, so, you know, what's really going to happen to you when I have a family to look out for? So I think it made a lot of sense that he would do it. But I mm-hmm. liked that he finally did come around.
Yeah. I agree. I feel like if he didn't, I wouldn't have respect him, I guess, as much as I do. Again, not that I think that withholding information or not coming forward is a good thing, but I don't know. I liked his character, even though we saw him, like, for 5 seconds.
He has more depth in, like, the 2 scenes that he was in than plenty of characters get when they're in a lot more. So.
Yeah. Because you can tell what the stakes are as soon as you meet him. Like, you can tell what he's about and sort of what he believes in. And his family situation, obviously. So, yeah, I agree. I agree his characterization was good in the 2 scenes that he was in. So, yeah, I think that's pretty much everything that happened in Plan B.
Oh, Mac and Cassidy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, there is Mac and Cassidy. That got lost in the middle of everything. Mac and Cassidy, are we still on board? I can't remember. Karen was on board, but Caitlin, you were not, correct?
No, I was totally on board.
You are on board. Okay. I'm sorry, I'm getting my people mixed up. So what did you, I'm sorry. What did you think about them in this episode?
I want to know what is going on with Cassidy, like, when Mac is like, why is he not trying to grope me? Like, what's going on?
And it's a fair question.
So my thought is he gay? Like, is that it? And he's trying to cover that he's gay with having a girlfriend, and he just really likes Mac as, like, a bro, and is trying to cover that. I don't know. That's the only thing that comes to mind, because I don't know why else a teenage boy with the hormones, with the girlfriend who is fully willing to have some under-the-shirt action, is not taking advantage of it. So I'm like, what is going on? So that's my theory, that Cassidy's gay.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, even within the realm of this season, because we've dealt with a lot of that kind of, we've dealt with gay and people coming out, people staying in the closet, so it definitely, your theory definitely makes sense. I won't tell you one way or another, but it's a good one.
Unlike Mitch, I don't think this episode shows that he's evil. I just think that there's something going on.
I think the gay overarch, like the seeing different people come out and having that be a theme also is present in the next episode as well, which I think is interesting. With the bus crash.
Yes. Yeah. So let's then, I mean, let's move into favorite scenes, because mine kind of fits in with the Mac and Cassidy, so I feel like it's a good sort of segue. So my favorite scene of this entire episode was Mac asking Veronica for love advice. And I believe at some point Veronica counters Mac, and it was like, the only reason why you're asking me because I'm like the sluttiest person you know or something. And I thought that was humorous. But I enjoyed seeing Mac in a position where she doesn't know everything, where she's not comfortable with, I guess, what's going on. Or, like, she doesn't have the answers, because she usually does. With everything we've seen her before, she's the one who solves the problem, and here she has a problem that she can't solve by herself. So I really enjoyed that scene. Gabrielle, what was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene was the scene with Gia and Logan, and then leading into the Veronica-Logan dance. I love the snark between Gia and Logan and how Gia was diagnosing him, and was pretty much spot on, like him using sarcasm to disguise his true feelings. So I just thought it was hilarious, and then, you know, romantic or emotionally charged with the dance.
A good one. And Caitlin, yours, please.
Mine was the stakeout, because Veronica's line in that is my favorite line, but then the high five between them.
Yes.
You're a bad boy, and then the high five, which is like, this is the best thing ever. This encapsulates your relationship and why I love you. You're so great.
No, I forgot about that high five. I can't believe I forgot about it, but no, that was glorious. So then, since we were talking about she has one of your favorite lines, why don't you tell us your favorite line first, because it fits in.
So it's when Veronica asks Logan about Hannah, and he says that he hasn't heard from her. And she says, you know, I'm not sure, but I think when they start shipping your girlfriends off, you're officially a bad boy.
Ooh.
Like, yes, I agree. Yes, probably.
That is pretty solid criteria there. Let's see. My favorite line came from Logan, and it was actually during the dance scene. And it's not snarky, but he turns to Veronica and he says, when I dreamed of this moment, I've had the time of my life was always playing. Well, what can you do? I don't even know how I feel about it, but it just kind of makes my heart break a little bit. But it's still cute at the same time. I don't know. That was my favorite line. And Gabrielle, what was yours?
Mine was the Logan line, and it's when Veronica asked Logan for help in the beginning of the episode. And he says, Veronica, that's not what Logan can do for you, but what you can do for Logan. And it was just such a typical Logan line, and I loved it.
That was almost my favorite scene, that whole exchange when she steals his keys and everything. Yes. Is so great. He's like, I'll be walking softly and carrying a big stick. So good.
I don't understand. I guess people are entitled to their own opinion, but I don't understand how people cannot like Logan. It makes me so sad.
Cough, Marima, cough.
I know. It hurts me every day, but she's entitled to her own opinion, and I'm trying to understand. But this is hard. It's hard with things like this, with, like, the stakeout and everything.
Logan is the kind of person that I think in real life, if I knew him, I would hate his guts. But as a fictional character, he's, like, my favorite kind of character.
Yeah. And then also as a fictional character, we get to see more of him as a person. Rather than if we knew him in real life, we would just know one side. Unless we were one of his friends.
Yeah. That's very true.
Yeah. So, let's move on to episode 18. Which is I Am God. And here's your quick synopsis in case, like me, you're kind of unsure about what this episode had in it. In this episode, Veronica has creepy nightmares about the bus crash where she talks to each of the victims as she tries to figure out who killed them. She finds out that Lucky, the janitor, was a creep. Dick was dating a non-09er. Servando had an incident with Cassidy. And Peter had a crush on Mr. Wu. She keeps on seeing the phrase, I am God, with 9 tombstones, only to find out that it referenced an album cover. Wallace and Logan form a new bromance in physics to try to help Veronica win the Kane Scholarship. Veronica got into Stanford, but is unsure if she'll win the scholarship due to 09er Angie. Keith goes through painful online dating experiences to find the person who prescribed general anxiety disorder for kids at Neptune High, which includes Angie. And apparently, Dick and Cassidy had insurance policies on them, so they were worth more dead than alive, as Veronica continues to try to solve the case. So let's start out with, what is actually my favorite scene or my favorite scenes from this episode, and those were the dream sequences. I really enjoyed these. I enjoyed the ones in season one with Lily, but I think I enjoyed these more because of the way that they shifted or because of some of the clever or humorous things that were thrown into them. Even though they were morbid, there were things like, I think Meg was wearing a shirt at one point that said baby on board or something. Like, I enjoyed these dream sequences. What did you guys think about them?
I liked them. I did like the quality of, like, the camera or just, like, I didn't think they looked that great, but I did like what were in them. Like, I don't think you need to have, like, the hazy
and the lens flare type thing.
Yeah, it's just, like, I think that's kind of cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
But I did like them more than the Lily flashbacks because I felt like Veronica was obviously trying to work out the case and people were actually, like, talking back to her and kind of giving her stuff to go on, but at the same time being really sassy, which I enjoyed.
I'm kind of the opposite.
Okay.
I liked the way it looked. Because they were supposed to look trippy, dippy, weird. But my first initial reaction was kind of, holy info dump, Batman.
True.
Which was a little much for me. And I get, you know, as you go on, this is everything that Veronica knows, and she's just trying to work things out. It was just a little too much exposition for me, so I was having a really hard time keeping a lot of things straight, and it felt almost lazy just to be like, let's have dream sequences where we tell you everything we know. I didn't love it. Just, it didn't seem like the best possible way to get all the information that we needed across.
True. It seemed almost like an easy way out, like in a non-investigative manner in finding the information.
Almost like we're coming to the end of the season and we need to make sure our viewers know all of these facts before we make these reveals, and we haven't given them everything yet, but Veronica knows it, so we're just going to put all of it out there right before the end of the season.
Understandable. I see your point. Did you... I don't know. It's, as much as they were kind of information dumps, and as much as I enjoyed the scenes, I thought that the information kind of went in circles, and it was kind of almost hard to get through because of all the times we returned to the dream sequences. So I can definitely see how it wasn't the best way to put that information across, because I don't even know at this point what we learned from the dream sequence. I can't even remember it because it was just so, like, circular reasoning almost.
It's just, yeah, there's so much convoluted stuff involved in this bus crash that I watched it, the episode, like, a week ago, and then I watched it again this morning, and I'm still having a hard time keeping everything straight.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the one downfall of season two, is that a lot of the stuff that has to do with the larger crimes, like the larger story arcs, like the stabbing on the bridge and like the bus crash, a lot of the information is just so, like you said, convoluted and really hard to parse through because they're throwing in so many different groups of people, and you can't keep all of the motivations and all of the facts straight because of it.
It's like they're trying to introduce red herrings, but it becomes just a jumbled mess.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's still enjoyable, but it's hard sometimes to just sit there and process things because you don't know what you're processing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's continue talking about the people on the bus. And we kind of get to put faces to the names, I think, for the first time this season, if I'm correct. Like, I mean, we had little individual stories with some of the people, but I feel like we didn't really get to see all of their faces until this episode when they were talking about the yearbook spread. And I think we got to know a little bit more about those characters that died in the crash, which was nice. And one of those characters was Peter, and he was the one who had a crush on Mr. Wu. And one of the things that has come up a few times this season was him saying for everyone to prepare for the outing of all outings. So because it's been repeated, it has, I mean, we're meant to assume that it's important. So any thoughts on that thus far? At all?
I thought they built it up to be more important in this episode since we have heard it before, but in this one it just seemed Peter was more of a focus. Like, she did talk to Rhonda's sister. She did, you know, talk to Cassidy about Servando, but I don't know. For whatever reason, it seemed like Peter was more the focus. And so that's why it just makes me suspicious and kind of like, oh, are we supposed to, like, what is this supposed to accomplish? Is Veronica going to find out who he was going to out, or was it just nothing? Is it, like, I don't know. I'm not sure what to make of it.
Cassidy! There!
He's going to out Cassidy?
Yes, there we go.
That's what it is.
Because I have nothing else, and that's my theory from last episode. So I'm just going to tie them together because I can.
Yeah, just keep continuing it. Totally fine. But yeah, and then we also kind of met a new character who's sort of involved, and that was Lucky the janitor.
Yeah, I still don't understand what his relevance was.
Yeah, I'm not sure how... I mean, I feel like I know how he fits into the bus crash, but not really. Yeah, Gabrielle, any help? Because it was just, his introduction was so jumbled and like, hey, this character is going to be important, but you don't really know why, but not in a, like a mysterious, thought-provoking way. It was just in a confusing way.
Yeah, I don't know how to shed light on that. Sorry.
So, yeah, no, that's totally fine. Listeners, if you can help us out, that would be great. Because I feel like I know, but I really don't know.
So, Meg's parents wanted to set her up with him because he was a friend from church. And then he was also, like, buying beer and stuff for Dick and Logan.
Yeah, but he was a soldier.
Who got shot in the ass.
Yeah, who got shot in the ass.
But I don't really, beyond that, I don't see the connection to anything other than just he exists.
Yeah, and that he's a little strange.
Yeah. Obviously there was something going on because he had some exchange with, like, Dick and Logan in that flashback to when Veronica and Logan were making out, but...
Yeah.
I don't see the connection yet. I don't know if it gets cleared up or if it's just meant to be that confusing or what, but I was kind of going, I have no idea what your purpose is.
Oh, okay. He does pop up in the next round of recordings that we'll be doing. And so I think I now remember what his storyline is. But yeah, for right now, it's not even thought provoking, and it's not even a good one, I guess. I don't know. But yeah,
it's really confusing. I remember his storyline as well, but right now it's just like a random introduction, like, oh, he caught us making out once. Okay, great. Like, what are we supposed to think of that?
Yeah, I feel like everybody has probably caught Veronica Mars and Logan Echols making out once, so let's give them all character names. Like, pretty much how it feels right now.
Because, like, all the other pieces that Veronica was sort of putting together with the other characters somehow had a relation to the bus crash in some way, it seemed like, but he just kind of seemed to be there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he had no relevance.
So I wasn't sure why he needed to be mentioned so much. But if he comes back, okay, I'll withhold my judgment and see what that turns into.
Yeah, exactly. And then we also find out in terms of the bus crash, or, I mean, what we're supposed to assume is in terms of the bus crash, that Dick and Cassidy had insurance policies taken out on them, which makes them worth more dead than alive. Red herring, motivation, how did you react to this, I guess, this information when it was revealed?
I'm suspicious, but because that's always very good motivation.
Right. Insurance policies are always.
Yeah. Like, if they're worth more dead than alive. But I'm not sure because I still think that Goodmans are big bad, and I'm not sure how that would relate to him in any way. So I'm kind of taking it as more of a red herring than anything, just because I have my assumption of who the villain is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I don't really know what to think of it because I don't see Mr. Casablancas as being like a murderer. I don't think he's a good father, but I don't see him wanting to blow up his sons. Like, I don't really know what we're supposed to think. Like, oh, was the bomb supposed to be in the limo? Is that, like, is that where Veronica's going? Or, I don't know. I find it to be a red herring as well.
Or is it supposed to make us wary of Kendall because he did it, like, shortly after he got married to Kendall? So, yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah. It doesn't really point to anyone. It just, like, puts it out there as motivation for someone in some circle. So then, if it doesn't have to do with the insurance policies, one of the other possible accusations that was involved in this episode was Weevil being the murderer behind the bus crash. I don't personally see, I understand that Servando kind of points to it, but I don't personally see that as being, I don't know, a good accusation. I feel like that one's kind of strange at this point.
Yeah, I don't think it was Weevil.
I just found it came out of nowhere, like, we know that he loved his PCHers, so why would he kill one of them?
Right. Like, you see him react to Felix's death in such, like, in such a large way, and then he would turn around and kill someone on the bus. No. It's just weird.
And this is all Veronica trying to work it out. So this is Veronica thinking that...
That's true.
At least at one point, that it's Weevil who did it, which... Again, also seems kind of weird, but then it's, hey, this won't be the first time you maybe accused Weevil of murder, so.
Let's just accuse him on everything, and then when he's innocent, it makes him look better. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what you're going for, but he's always good for an accusation, I guess. And moving on from the bus, let's talk about Veronica, because we already kind of mentioned her. And while she does make not the greatest of accusations, she is relatively intelligent, and she gets into Stanford, which we don't even see any sort of application processes going on in the show or anything. And we don't see her, like, I guess, scrambling to get applications done like I know I was when I was applying for college. But she gets into Stanford. Is it realistic for her character? Is it kind of out of left field? Or was it not really an interesting plot point for you?
I was going to say, I just wish we had seen more to indicate, like, her academic prowess. Like, we see, like, she's smart, and we know she's smart, and would be, I assume, smart enough to go to Stanford through all her detective-ing, but we just don't see her that much in the school setting actually doing academic things.
Mm-hmm.
So I just would have liked more indications that she's doing well in school beyond, like, we know she's up for the Kane scholarship, but it's just more indications that she, like, all of her private eye work isn't keeping her from making good grades or something. So it does feel a little out of left field, but it's not that I don't think she's smart enough to be there. It's just maybe the work she does for her father and on her own could be distracting her grades-wise or something.
Right, she's sleeping in class and stuff. I mean, exactly. That was because of the nightmares, but still.
It's like, we know Mac is a genius because she's told us pretty much, but Veronica, I don't think, like, is a natural genius, so it would have been nice to see her study or to, like, hear that she was in, like, an AP class or two because, like, we only see her in Mr. Rook's class, and that's, like, not an AP or honors class. And I think they could have made, like, a great episode with, like, Veronica writing her college essay. Like, that could have been, like, the season premieres, like, her reflecting on the Lily stuff, and then, oh, yeah, and the, you know, and I think I may have been meant to die in the splash bus crash. So I think they could have incorporated it more, besides just the Hearst episode. And I also think just from being from California, it's really hard to get into Stanford. Like, no one gets into Stanford, especially if you're from California a lot of the times.
Because they want the fact that.
Right. Well, they want people out of state, and it's just, like, so competitive. And so the fact that both Veronica and Angie just, like, magically get into the same school, I thought was unrealistic. Like, okay, why can't you have, like, Angie get into Harvard? Like, you know, why does it have to be the same school in that way?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Just from that perspective, I think they could have shown her studying more or, like, just, I don't know. It just seemed a little out of place. Like, they weren't focused on academics, and then they had to throw it in.
And I think it also bugs me a little bit. You brought up Mac, and we know she's a computer genius, so maybe that doesn't really reflect on how well she does in school. But I kind of would like to know where these characters are in relation to each other or how well Mac does in school. Because Mac always looks like she's a little bit more ahead of Veronica on some things. So Veronica's up for the Kane scholarship and Mac is not. So I don't know. I just wish we got more of that kind of stuff, like you said, with essay writing. Like, it could have been Veronica starting an essay at the beginning of an episode with one idea, working through a case during the episode and then closing the episode, kind of changing her essay. We've seen that formula in other shows before. I can't name any, but I mean, it's happened. And so I think I would have liked to see something like that. In this episode, we see Veronica kind of, I believe she's a little stressed out, especially because she's having those creepy nightmares. So she's stressed out. She's not sleeping. And at one point during the episode, she reams Logan. Like, she is nasty. It's not even witty. It's not funny. It's not slightly uncomfortable. It's nasty. So I personally think she was being a little too harsh, even though she was in not the greatest state of mind at the moment. What did you think about that?
Yeah, it was harsh. I think it was one of those things where their dynamic is, like, it's very easy to fall on either side of their snark being, like, taken too seriously. Like, they're very specific in how they take their banter with each other. But,
it's very true.
You know, you say something slightly wrong and it becomes really mean. So, like, she was just not on her game, so it was very easy to cross the line that they have kind of established between them. And I think because she was so tired, she just didn't have it in her to, you know, say something witty, and it was just very easy just to cross that line, because they have a very thin, narrow line between them, I think, of the things that they do say to each other on a daily basis.
I agree, but at the same time, I just thought it was mean, and I thought she knew. Like, I don't think she felt any remorse for saying it, whereas in the past, we've seen her say stuff and then, like, kind of realize it was wrong. Like, she just, it was some low blows about Hannah, and, like, you could tell that it would affect Logan even before she said it, and so the fact that Wallace had to step in and, like,
say, hey,
hey, that's not okay. I think Wallace is her conscience, or he was until last episode. So I think that should kind of remind her, like, okay, just because I'm tired and have all this going on doesn't mean I can't be nice to people.
Oh, yeah, I think she was nasty on purpose, but they do have an interesting dynamic where they do seem to be nasty to each other a lot, but it's not really. But then in this case, I do think she was being purposely nasty to him.
It was uncomfortable, but in a very negative way. But I did like the fact that Wallace stepped in for Logan. I thought that fit really well within this episode. And I thought that it was really interesting that even though Wallace may not be the biggest fan of Logan, he knew that Veronica was crossing a line. And whether that's just because Wallace is a good person, or if it's because he's got a new bromance going on, I'm okay with either one of those reasons. I, for one, am a huge fan of the Wallace-Logan egg crate drop storyline thing. I forgot about it, and I can't believe I forgot about it, but it was great.
The story is everything I always wanted. It's so amazing.
Yeah. It's just so nice to see Logan in a bromance again. While I do love his Logan Weevil bromance, like, I feel like he doesn't have a bromance with other characters other than, like, non-O-Niners, if that makes sense. I don't know. Like, him and Dick definitely do not have a good bromance or any sort of bromance at all. And neither did him and Duncan. But him and Weevil and him and Wallace is just fantastic.
Logan's actually pretty isolated.
Yeah.
When you think about it, like, he really doesn't have that many friends, despite seeming like he should be on the top of the social totem pole. He's pretty isolated.
I don't even know if it's other people being wary of him or if he's just isolated himself. I think it's more of him isolating himself from people that he doesn't not deem worthy of his time, because that sounds a little elitist, but at the same time, like, people who he knows won't really care about him in the long run. So he just isolated himself from the possibility of anybody.
Yeah, I think that's a change from last season when he did have more friends. I think he kind of sees now with the whole Aaron Eccles story, like, Dick wanted to watch it, Wallace watched it, and then turned it off. We assume he turned it off when Logan made his remarks. So I think he's just kind of, like, trying to find true friends and not really having any luck. And I think the reason he stays with Dick is because Dick is loyal, no matter, you know,
what
his other faults are.
I don't know how to quit you.
It's not me, it's Wu. But yeah, no, I loved that. Dick is the best. I don't even know. Dick and Corny, those are my two. I don't know why, but I get really excited whenever they're there. Ask me about the alternative prom episode later. And we'll get to Cool Me, but.
Yay!
But yeah, so I'm enjoying Logan having friends and being happy. And I think that will be good for him in the long run.
I like too that Wallace mentions that, you know, he's trying to get the exempt from the final to help Veronica get the scholarship. And when Logan kind of makes an excuse, he's like, uh-huh. So Logan's still trying to help Veronica. Like, ah!
He's not a mean jerk anymore, even though sometimes he acts like it. He's so nice. And speaking of helping out Veronica, Keith opens a closet door to find Veronica hiding in there, which was very humorous for sure. I mean, not that I would ever think that he would rat out his daughter, but they didn't even discuss it, I don't think, when she got home.
Yeah, I thought that was odd because there was that scene, however many episodes ago, when Keith got really upset at her and was like, I love you, but I don't know that I'm going to be able to trust you.
And yeah, that was after Duncan left.
Yeah, and that hasn't come up again, and it seems like that never happened, but it seems like it should have been a shift in their dynamic, and it doesn't seem like anything has come of it.
Yeah, I mean, like, you find your daughter breaking into the principal's office. Not that she hasn't done it before, and I'm sure he might be aware that she has, but I don't know. And then at the same time, though, he's keeping a case from Veronica. Not that it's any of her business, of course, but he's keeping a case from her that directly affects her because of whatever her name was, the other one who got into Stanford, Angie, I think, because she's using this excuse of anxiety disorder, and that's what Keith is investigating. So would Keith have kept that from her because he didn't want her to retaliate?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think it's just kind of a conflict of interest. And although Keith loves Veronica, like, he knows when she'll endanger his cases. So by telling her, she could screw up her own chances and she could screw up his case.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. What did you think of his case once we kind of found out what it was?
I was so confused about what was going on for a while.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was a little bit of a stretch kind of case where, yes, it's sort of important, but I didn't feel like it was completely necessary to anything or even enjoyable because we only saw, like, bits and pieces of it. So I think they could have taken that out and it would have been fine.
Yeah, it was kind of filling space in the episode.
Not that they really needed space to fill with all the information that they've been trying to put in, but hey.
For real.
But hey, I mean, that's just us. We're not showrunners, so we don't know that much, I guess. And I'm going to need a little bit of a memory jog here, Gabrielle. At the end of our discussion points for this episode, there's a point here about a ringing phone call at the end of the episode. Remind me of where that is or who's calling.
It's at the very end of the episode, and it's when Veronica is dreaming, and it just, this phone call is ringing, and I think we may see that it's still ringing in the real life. And Yeah, I just didn't know if that was supposed to be symbolic or what. Someone's calling Veronica, pretty much, either metaphorically or actually.
Trying to. And she had the C4 next to her on the seat.
Oh, okay. It was in, like, a bag, right? The C4?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, sorry to, I guess, deflate the ending of this episode, but I don't remember it much. And so, I guess that's kind of telling that it's not super important. At least that I can remember, and I apologize.
Spoiler alert.
I know. Unless you have theories about it. Because, I mean, it could be important. I just can't place it at the moment. Again, I saw all of these episodes back to back to back last night at, like, 10 o'clock, so.
I had no theories.
Yeah. Fair enough. Spoiler alert, I guess, for you two. If you have no theories, then maybe it's not important. Because you always have good theories. All right, well, that is the end of I Am God. All in all, I think it was a pretty solid episode. It was very information heavy, and some points weren't that effective in conveying the information, but I thought it was a good, pretty average episode for getting towards the end of the season, and I enjoyed it. And like I said before, my favorite scene from that episode was any of the nightmare bus scenes. I didn't mind the hazing camera or like the lens flare type effects. And I really enjoyed those. Gabrielle, what was your favorite scene or scenes?
I really liked when Wallace and Logan were bonding, especially when Wallace was hopped up on espresso. I thought it was really cute.
I thought that, yes. That would be me on espresso. I don't even know. So, that was cute. Caitlin, favorite scene?
Since Gabrielle took mine, I went with Keith finding Veronica in the closet and just his face, how it kind of just shifts from like, huh, to of course. And then he's like, yeah, it's definitely mine. Like, that was really great.
He's the best. I feel like Veronica's wit and Logan's wit is always praised, but Mr. Mars definitely has some of the best lines of the show, or some of the best moments, and I think this is one of them.
He also has the best delivery, so.
Yes, he does. He really does. As far as favorite lines, mine comes from Logan, of course, I guess. If it's not Dick, it's Logan. And his line that I liked was, in terms of why him and Veronica broke up. And he says, well, you thought the other guy had greener grass. Or was it something about me being too much man? No, wait, it was you. You were too much man.
Yes.
And that takes me back to, I think it was one of the first episodes of the season where they're watching, or Veronica and Duncan are watching, I think it was The Big Lebowski, and she was quoting everything, and Duncan was just sitting there like a wet noodle. I mean, she was kind of being manly. So, I don't know. That it just always reminds me of that for some reason, but it's adorable anyway. Gabrielle, your favorite line, please.
So, last episode it was a Veronica line, and this one it's a Logan line. And so he goes, I forget the context. If you guys know, please remind me. But he goes, sometimes I'm up all night thinking about myself. And his delivery was perfect, and it also reminded me of the song. So that's been stuck in my head.
Well, it was when she comes up to the locker, and she, like, knees him. And is like, sorry, I'm a little punch drunk because I'm not sleeping.
Tired or something, yeah.
He's like, with thoughts of me, because sometimes I'm up all night thinking about myself. This is such a great conversation.
So good. Caitlin, your favorite line sort of comes from Logan as well. Please enlighten us.
From the blooming bromance, Logan says to Wallace, you don't like me much, do you? And Wallace says, the last time we actually talked, you were bashing Veronica's headlights with a crowbar. And Logan says, foreplay.
So I have to ask, if you had to choose a favorite bro TP, which would it be? I mean, I know we haven't got enough of Wallace and Logan yet, but still, I'm curious.
Yeah, I need to see more of Logan and Wallace, but I love them for what that they could become. Like, there's okay. so much for potential for a great relationship there, but at this point, I have to go with Logan and Weevil because we've seen their bromance
okay.
and the epicness of their bromance.
So epic. Okay, I just had to ask. I was curious. All right. And before we leave you all, we have a little bit of listener feedback for you. Let me see. Gabrielle, would you like to take that tweet from Gertrude?
Sure. So this is, I think, from Gertrude. Thank you very much for tweeting us. And so she said, two Jennifer Love Hewitt references in episode 18, Ghost Whisperer and I Know What You Did Last Summer. And I know the second reference, it's when Veronica calls over Dick to find out about Batima, and she goes, I know who you did last summer. Do you mm-hmm. guys remember the first one?
Yeah, the first one happened, I believe it was a scene between Veronica and Mr. Mars. Or no, it was Veronica and the school counselor. And right before she starts giving the school counselor, I guess, the lowdown on everything she knows and therefore telling us everything she knows, she tells the school counselor that she's pulling a total, like, Jennifer Love Hewitt. And then the school counselor doesn't get it, I don't think, at first. And so she has to explain it's like Ghost Whisperer and she's seeing ghosts, basically. And that's kind of what starts the episode off. So, yes, two good Jennifer Love Hewitt references. I liked it. And we also got a little bit of listener feedback on our previous podcast post on Hypeable. And this one is from Celtice, and Celtice, I believe it's a she, says, for months and months, iTunes taunted me by automatically downloading each episode of Rewatchable and Book Hype and reminded me how there were so many podcasts I needed to start and get caught up on. Now that day has come. What am I meant to do now? I know exactly how you feel, and I am sorry. We're at least we're consistent with our episodes, I guess. I don't know. But yes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you're caught up. Maybe you can, well, don't go research the internet. That's a bad place that spoils you. I don't know. Maybe you can rewatch. Do you guys have any tips?
There's very little worse than being caught up on all your podcasts.
Yeah. It's terrible. Like, I'm really behind on all of them. I feel like I need to catch up. But then it's just sad when you don't have anything sitting there. Ugh. So, Celtice, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. But hopefully we'll make up for it by recording really good rewatchable podcasts that are worth it. I don't know. That's all I got. If you want to be like Gertrude or Celtice and get a shout-out on our show, if you want to tell us something funny, tell us something thought-provoking, ask us a question, criticize us for anything, just contact us in general. You can do that in so many ways. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can tweet us at re_watchable. We're always checking those tweets. You can also tweet us at our individual accounts. We've been tweeted from Rewatchable, so you can find us easily. You can comment on this post on hypeable.com. We are always looking at the comments and responding, trying to start conversations with people. So it's a good place to go, especially if you don't have any more podcasts to listen to. Hey, that's another place, another thing you can do. And if you like us, which we hope you do, you can leave us a review on iTunes. And so other people can find us and other people can like us and we can all just be one big happy marshmallow family. So I don't have an incentive for you this week because I forgot to ask Ariana for one, but we will have one for you next week. So stay tuned for that. But I think in terms of this podcast, that's all that we have for you. So until next time, stay cool, marshmallows. I'm Danielle.
I'm Gabrielle.
And I'm Caitlin.
And we'll see you next time. Have fun watching.
Bye.
Bye.